every morning. One, two, three.
The thug burst through the door and came across the threshold leading with his pistol. He swept the room and stood there blinking, while the others blundered into him and almost knocked him down.
Back off! Go check the toilet!
There ain't nobody in here.
Ernie, you said there was gonna be two of them.
And you never said nothing about a Jap.
Shit, man, he's older than my grandma.
The little old man sat on the floor, staring without blinking at the television. It was almost as if he didn't notice that three armed men had just kicked in his door. Ernie Becker felt himself relaxing just a little, even as he wondered what the hell was going on. There was an outside chance that Tilton had been led astray by his informants, but that wasn't Becker's problem. He did what he was paid to do, and if he had to come back later to punish someone for misleading Tilton in the first place, then all that meant was that he got paid twice. He leaned forward and pressed the power button on the television.
Hey, Pops, we need to talk.
Shun turned and examined the thug the way a butcher might regard a cow or hog, deciding where the first cut should be made. He didn't speak, but simply returned the killer's gaze without a hint of trepidation.
Hey! You speak English, old man?
Shun nodded silently. As a mental exercise, he found the thug's carotid artery and spent a moment counting heartbeats. This one did not want his friends to know he was afraid.
Well, say something, then!
You should step aside and turn the sound back on.
I don't believe this shit! You got more problems than a fucking TV show, old man!
It is poor quality, of course, but better than Roseanne.
Hey, you can forget about Roseanne, all right?
It is my pleasure.
So where's your buddy?
Who?
You got somebody staying with you. Where is he?
He is gone.
Gone where, old man?
Who can say?
You better say. We haven't got all night.
Then you should not waste precious time with foolish questions.
What? You believe the fucking nerve on this old nip, Dave?
The fucking knife!
The young thug called Ernie aimed his pistol at Shun, its muzzle hovering 6 inches from the master's face.
You know what this is, Grandpa?
I believe it is a boom device.
Bet your skinny ass is a boom device. You gonna make me use it?
No man is compelled to prove himself at the expense of reason.
What's that mean, Ernie?
It means do what you have to do.
You heard him, Ernie. Fuck him up.
He's making fun of you.
That right? You making fun of me, old man?
I am not Mother Nature. I am not responsible for your deficiencies.
You hear that, Dave?
I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't. You gonna take that shit, Ernie?
Fuck no!
Ernie stepped closer and drew back his arm to strike Shun with the gun. He never made the swing. It would have been a challenge for the quickest eye to follow Chun as he reached out to grab the young man's genitals, his razor-sharp nails incising and separating a critical area. Ah! The young man fell to his knees. Chun's left hand shot out and gripped his throat, crushing his larynx and cutting off his flow of precious oxygen. He would be dead in seconds flat, but Chun didn't wait to observe the process. He had other work to do. The two survivors gaped at him in shock as Shun leaped from the floor and closed the gap between them to convenient striking distance. Both men raised their guns and pulled their triggers with no time to aim. The master was on the one called Jack in a flash, his hands a blur as he sent a flurry of invisible blows. That left Dave, who was already making a break for the door when Shun stepped in to intercept him. It was child's play, stretching out a foot to trip the clumsy killer, watching as he vaulted forward, skull colliding with the wooden doorframe. He was already losing consciousness when the master picked him up one-handed, holding him at arm's length like a half-drowned cat. Jun pressed a bony fingertip to the side of the thug's head, shooting him back into reality.
Who sent you here?
Hey, man, I just go where I'm told, okay? Hey, Jesus! I don't know who put the contract out, all right? We got a call from Ernie. He said, let's go roust these guys out of the Dogwood Inn. That's all I know. I swear to God.
Who told him to come here?
Oh, shit. The manager, I think. That's what he said. Why don't you let me go, huh? I won't tell a soul. I promise.
I'm sure.
Joy Patton stood in the bathroom doorway, blinked at Remo, then went back to staring at the bodies in the bathtub. She was looking slightly green around the gills, but Remo thought she handled it all right, considering the circumstances.
So, have you ever seen these guys before?
Maybe that one. It's hard to say for sure. He looks familiar in a way, but, then again, I haven't seen that many purple faces lately.
You'd have seen him at the home?
Yeah. One time, I think, if it was even him. I couldn't swear.
Okay, forget it.
Are they dead?
I hope so.
The ID wasn't important anyway. From Chun, he knew the three goons had been summoned on the basis of a call from the motel proprietor. Now, there were five bodies to get rid of in a hurry. But at least Chun had switched the feeble neon sign out front to read, "No Vacancy." From what Remo had seen already, it wasn't exactly peak tourist season, but the sign should fend off any late-night travelers who happened by while he was cleaning up. He could expect no help from Chun in that regard, of course. The master of Shenanju didn't mind a workout every now and then if he couldn't avoid it, but he drew the line at housekeeping. He had already found another program on the tube, and Remo had already given up on rousing him to help.
Well, you may as well relax a while and watch TV.
Relax? Is that supposed to be a joke? You've got three dead men in your bathtub.
Not for long. They're checking out.
I don't believe this.
It gets easier.
Remo's search for an appropriate cemetery had ended at the motel's ice machine. The freezer had a spacious bin, enough for several hundred pounds of ice cubes. It took three separate trips, because he didn't want to leave an extra body stretched out on the pavement. You could never be sure when an unexpected visitor should pull in from the highway. It took two more trips for Reynard and Matilda, wedging them inside the bin before he closed the metal trap. The first few ice cubes had already tumbled into place on top of them as Remo finished up his chore.
We're getting out of here.
Thank God.
My program...
You'll have to catch your reruns, little father. We can't afford to stay here any longer.
Stay, go. Is there no respite for the aged and infirm?
I'll ask them if we find some. We have to go. Now.